Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Monday, January 15th, 2018. And with me today, Brian Chaffin. How are you, Brian?
I am good. Thanks for having us.
It's great to have you here. John Martellaro, how are you?
I am good. I am in the middle of some glorious, much-needed snow.
Yeah, the snow is pretty nice.
Yeah.
It's making for a chilly Martin Luther King Jr. Day. Yeah. So I am curious what you guys think about this news that came out today through the parts supply chain that Apple first is taking a substantial chunk of MacBook Pro production from Qantas and pushing it over to Foxconn. But then to me, the bigger piece of the news, which in DigiTimes was like almost a throwaway line, Apple doesn't have plans to do a major redesign to the MacBook Pro this year, which I think some people aren't interpreting that in different ways.
Yeah, like, wait, we were expecting one, huh? Yeah.
Well, I think some people would like Apple to do a major change to the MacBook Pro this year, but to me, that doesn't seem likely.
Well, I've seen your Skylake MacBook Pro in person up close, and it's awesome. It's beautiful. It's the guts that needs fixed. More power, more memory.
Remember that one of the things that was supposedly a factor in the guts on the existing model was the form factor.
Oh, it's too thin.
Yeah, it's too thin. It's too thin to cool properly to put more RAM in it.
I don't think that's a problem with Coffee Lake because it uses the low power LDDR3 memory.
So. Right. Well, that's a fair point. Yeah. So, I don't think that Touch Bar is long for this world.
Yeah, I agree with you.
But I also am not, I did in no way expected a form factor update this year. I don't care about a form factor update this year. What I want to see is I want to see the guts modified. If Apple modifies the guts this year, within a year of the previous model having been updated, I'm thinking that Apple is back on, it's more evidence that Apple is in fact back on track and that 2017 wasn't itself an aberration.
Brian, weren't there some articles back around Thanksgiving where Apple was talking about, who was it? Was it Phil Schiller or Johnny Ive talking about how we hear you? Kind of like a little bit of an apology for the lack of power in the MacBook Pro and the attention to the technical and creative professionals. I remember vaguely there were some articles along those lines. I may have referenced them. So I'm pretty sure that Apple feels like they need to more strongly cater to the people who really need some power because a lot of them are migrating over to the Hewlett Packards. So I think it's pretty certain they're going to do something in 2018. I would expect WWDC, surely. Coffee Lake, 32 gig of RAM.
That would be really nice. What I would like to see, actually, there's four things I'd like to see in an updated MacBook Pro for 2018. The Coffee Lake processor, the ability to have at least 32 gigs of RAM in the computer, beefed up video graphics, which is not to say I think they're crappy right now, but hey, they can always be better. And I'd like to see the keyboard replaced because this keyboard, the Touch Bar MacBook Pro keyboard, is problematic. And I've already had mine replaced once, and I need to set up a Genius Bar because I need to get a new keyboard in it again.
Is this where they kind of tweak the butterfly from the MacBook to be a little more?
And the keys just aren't holding up. So initially, I lost the B key and all three of the modifiers on the left side of the keyboard. And right now, I have intermittent use of my control key.
You're not the only one who's complained about that. I've seen lots of articles about people having problems.
Oh, I know. And I'm fully expecting that after this keyboard gets replaced, at some point down the road, it's going to happen again. I'm really glad I have AppleCare on this computer.
So a new keyboard design and more memory and a different processor, does not constitute a major upgrade or a major redesign.
It's an iterative update.
Yeah.
Listen,
yeah.
That's all I'm looking for Apple from right now is iterative updates that, you know, keep up with the Joneses, and then every 2 or 3 years we get something new.
How would you change the physical design? I mean, aside from maybe making it thinner, thicker for a stronger battery.
Yeah, how would you get thicker? LOL.
Well, it might.
John, the first thing I would do if I was redesigning the MacBook Pro, the bottom case, top lid, not the lid of the laptop where the display is, but that top piece where the keyboard is, It has that right angle edge. I would bevel that.
Does it dig into your wrist?
Oh, it's horrible. Yeah. I think it's just horrible. That should not be a right angle right there. That needs to have a curve to it. That's the first
thing. I'm going to suggest no particular evidence for this other than it happened. But this was a product of Johnny Ive working on Apple Park, that sort of detail.
Yeah.
Well, you know, it could be design, but Apple's famous for marrying design to human factors. And if there's an engineering issue with construction, Apple's superbly good at beveled edges and manufacturing niceties. So it must have been a concession to aesthetics as opposed to.
How about sloppiness?
Maybe it just thought it looked better. Yeah.
Yeah. When the laptop is closed, you have these really sleek lines, and even the seams, everything just looks sleek. When you open it up, it still looks sleek, but now you have a human interface element where you have an edge that cuts into your wrists. And Apple used to do curved edges on their laptops, and I believe it was specifically so you wouldn't be cutting into your wrists. So bring that back.
I have a friend who does knitting, and she makes me these little wrist sleeves out of alpaca, and they solve that problem.
Yeah, well, maybe Apple needs to include those.
Hold on. You were giving me crap about Lovebox, but you wear knitted sleeves.
I find that for your typing
convenience.
I find that it helps my hand slide across the desk with the mouse easier. It's the same effect as the edge of the MacBook cutting into your wrist. It's the same thing going on.
Listen, it's all in context, and now I get the resistance to Lovebox. It's all crystal clear to me.
I'm going to include a link to Brian's Lovebox piece in the show notes today.
The inside thing here, folks, is that I had a bad reaction to the Lovebox, and Brian's on my case about it.
Listen, I met with very polarized reactions to that. Guys were a mix of rolling eyes and hey, that's great. And
yeah, my eyes are still rolling.
And I really see why women would like it. Right, that was the male reaction that I got from the people that I talked to before I wrote it, and then women were. The least positive reaction that I got was one woman who said, oh, that's cute. Everyone else was like, oh, that's great.
So, Brian, but before we move on, we've had this awesome Lovebox discussion without any context. I can only imagine what people are thinking we're talking about. Brian, what's Lovebox?
Lovebox, it's a wooden box. It's a physical wooden box.
So a literal box.
It's a literal box, and on the front of the literal box is a the current design. There's three designs, but there's a heart. There's a pixelated heart, and it's set on the end of a motor, and it spins when you get a message. And inside the box is a dot matrix display that displays a message.
Oh, not Nixie tubes?
No, that would be. God, that would be fantastic. Oh, that would just be fantastic. Oh, man. The only way to read the message is to open the box. And the only way to see, you send the message from an app, but you're not sending it. The message doesn't ever arrive on your phone. It only arrives on this box. And the heart spins when you get a notification. And that's how you know that you have the people or person that you've connected to your love box has sent you a message. That's the only way you get to know. And then you can spin the heart with your finger yourself. You can physically spin that heart, and then that sends a shower of hearts back to the person that sent you a message. It's romantic as all get out.
And it's getting mixed responses from the people that you're showing this.
Strongly polarized. Didn't the dude write a song about this? That's about a different love box.
Okay.
Jeff. Okay. So there's this one other thing that I would love to see come back to the MacBook Pro that's not going to.
Okay.
MagSafe.
Oh yeah. Oh, MagSafe. Man,
like MagSafe was
top of the list of criticisms.
Was one of Apple's best and finest inventions to bring to the portable computing.
Well, you know, there is a company that sells a USB-C to MagSafe interface, so you can have both.
Mm-hmm. There is. And we shouldn't have to use that. That should not have been an opportunity for them. But, USB-C is so great about so many things, but MagSafe, I have recently tripped over my 2011 MacBook Air and ripped the power cord out of it. Recently. I've done that, I don't know, 4 or 5 times. And in each of those instances, I would have, you know, just either destroyed the port or yanked my MacBook Air on, you know, halfway across the room.
Mm-hmm.
And I love MagSafe. I love MagSafe. Getting rid of that was a step backwards.
Yeah,
but it's not coming back.
No, it's not coming back. And that breaks my heart because it saved my laptops over the years more than once too.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. If I had a new MacBook Pro, and I may actually get one with a Coffee Lake processor, but if I had one, I would get one of those dongles, those adapters, MagSafe adapters.
Do you remember who makes it? Is it Belkin?
No, it's a completely different company.
Why don't we research it after we record and put it in the show notes?
Yeah.
What I need to do is go dig through the pile of stuff sitting on my desk because I have one that I just started playing with recently. Yes. Which means that's what I call research, digging through the stuff on my desk. So, yeah, I'll include a link to that in the show notes.
I call that Tuesday.
That's Griffin.
Or Monday in this case.
Yeah. And typically I don't have to dig through stuff on my desk, but CES, so now my desk is just this big pile of stuff. Anyhow, I want to get your opinion on what Apple's doing with their recent ads. And specifically, we had a couple ads come out over the weekend, just really short spots highlighting features in iOS 11 for the iPad Pro. And then at the end of last week, as I recall, last week was a blur because of CES. There was an iPhone ad that came out for the portrait features, right? Portrait lighting features.
Yeah, that's a good one.
So you like the portrait lighting feature ad. What do you think of the series of ads that they have for the iPad Pro?
Well, it all started with the little girl telling her mom, what's a computer? You know, that was the precursor to this. And that was, I thought maybe that's a one-off, but I still questioned in print in one of my articles why Apple was using what seemed to be about a 10-year-old girl to advertise a $1,000 ostensibly iPad Pro. I think she's a little
older than that.
Maybe 12, maybe at the most.
Yeah, she's
I don't know.
Not a high schooler. No. And so I had my say about that. But then now these two new ads come out, continuing the trend of showing iPad Pros in the hands of basically children, pre-high school. And I'm having a hard time figuring out what Apple's thinking along these lines. Why are they taking this particular marketing angle? I mean, you wouldn't think of iPad Pros and expensive computers to be the target audience for really young kids.
All right, so let me actually give you a pitch, and I'm going to give you a caveat that I don't actually believe this for a second, but let me pitch it anyway.
All right, I'm waiting.
Oh, okay. I thought I lost you there for a second. My apologies. So, what is the pitches to parents that you need to stop thinking about computers for your kids, and you need to start thinking about the fact that this is a computer, that the iPad Pro is a computer, and that this is what your kids should be armed with, and that Apple is actually trying to shift the perception for who this device is modeled at. Now, again, my caveat is that that's pretty bogus thinking. I mean, it's an iPad Pro. It's not an iPad student. Yes. And I would further argue that very few families can currently willing to spend $1,000.
That's my second disconnect.
On a tablet.
Yeah.
But they'll spend $1,000 on a MacBook Air.
Will they? Right now, they're not. It seems to me that right now they're spending $300 or $240 on a Chromebook.
Okay, so yeah, I was talking.
That's the third point.
If you're
point.
Looking at the Apple product line for your kids, as opposed to in general, because yeah, you're right. Parents are spending and schools are spending $200-$300 on a Chromebook. And that's what their kids are using at school.
Yeah. Yeah. So you go out and you buy an iPad Pro for your 11-year-old, and he or she goes into school, and they say, well, pretty cool gadget, but that's not what we're using here.
You know what Apple needs for the education market? It needs to bring the iMate back. I'm just kidding.
You know, iMate?
But it like...
It was like, eMate, wasn't it?
It was eMate.
It was eMate. Oh, darn it. Ah, you're going to have to turn in my nerd credentials.
Yeah. I've played with one of those. They were very cool.
I love
this about a 20-year-old product, right?
But you know, like when we had devices that were aimed at kids, the original iBook, the orange iBook, for instance, the toilet seat iBook was aimed at young people in large part. And the problem is that Apple used to occupy for education, and Apple used to occupy the high end of the market for educational laptops, and now Apple is occupying the stratosphere.
Well, that that brings up an interesting point, Brian. The times have changed. Middle class is under duress. Schools don't have as much money. Families aren't able to afford expensive computers for their kids. Schools, even community colleges, are hard pressed to spend $1,000 on a device. But Apple has steadfastly maintained its position as we only build the best, and building their high class stuff, which is manifesting in these ads.
And there's, don't get me wrong, I want Apple to continue to make the best, but it is. It's not making a device. Okay, I'm really trying to wrap my head around what it is I'm trying
you're
to
onto
say.
It.
I don't,
you're onto it.
I don't want Apple to compete with Chromebook, because screw that. But what I do want is for Apple to actually make a product that is ideal and suitable for children to do work on.
Bingo. Yeah, I'm right there with you, Brian.
And that includes, I believe, a physical keyboard.
All right, so...
Yes, it's part of the curriculum these days. It's cool to have a virtual keyboard, but students are learning to type on real keyboards, whether we like it or not.
Well, real keyboards remain the better way to type, too. Mm-hmm. And not just for old fogies like us.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
And Microsoft saw that early. And we all made fun of Microsoft because we were using virtual keyboards, and then the tables turned.
All right. So what I just did, I whipped up my iPhone and priced out the very base model 10.5-inch iPad Pro with Apple Pencil. Keep in mind, you're buying a $100 stylus for your tween. So that may or may not go over well. with my tax in Boulder, the whole package would be $748.
But that's just the low-end memory, right? This 32 or 64, 64
gigs of RAM on a 10.5-inch iPad Pro Wi-Fi only.
Yeah, 4 gigs of storage.
Quite a bit if you go to 128.
Well, 64 is pretty usable, I think. I like in 2018, 2017, late 2017, I like 64 gigs as a starting point for storage.
What about AppleCare for your dropsy tween?
Let's see.
Add another 100.
Yeah, so then you'd have to add, what is it? Is it $100?
It's 100, 100 or 150, yeah.
Okay, so we're still under $1,000, but nonetheless, we're still way ahead or way above $300 for a fancy Chromebook.
You can get Chromebooks for
$150.
Does that include the smart case with the keyboard?
Oh no, I didn't put any covers on this at all. It's just
we better add another 100 for the smart keyboard cover.
So yeah, it took in a 2 second search. I'm seeing $150 Chromebooks.
Yeah, there you go.
And again, you know, Apple doesn't need to have $150, you know, piece of crap Mac. I mean, that's not Apple. That's not gonna suit anybody. But I think Apple needs a laptop for the education space, for the young person space, that is probably under $700.
So we need to wrap up, but Brian, I love your idea, even though you said it kind of tongue in cheek, of the eMate. Apple could create a lower cost device based on iOS that has the keyboard built in and is a little bit more rugged and would work nicely for the education space.
I don't like that idea. I'd much rather see. First of all, you're talking about a toaster fridge, and that is a very. That's a paradigm shift that is much bigger than just kids, right?
Well, no, this is an education space device, and it would be a toaster fridge in the same sense that buying an iPad Pro with a smart keyboard cover and an Apple Pencil is a toaster fridge. You're just packing it into a more rugged case.
I would still rather see something more akin to the toilet seat iBook than that.
All right, are you saying that Apple would be better in the education space with a macOS based low cost device? Okay.
Yes. Yes.
And what I'm talking about, just
and again, hypothetical, would not at $150, not at $300, but just a lot less expensive than what you can get right now.
Under $500.
Under $700.
I think if they're going to really compete in the education space, they're going to have to get it to $499.
I agree with Jeff here. My wife teaches at a community college, and the $500 is more reasonable. $700 gets really dicey for even some college students.
Yeah. Hey, we're out of time. We have to wrap up. Even though I would love to just keep going, but we have to wrap up. Brian, thank you so much for being here today.
Yep. Thanks for having us. Good stuff.
And John, thank you for being here as well.
You're very welcome.
And it's been a lot of fun. And listeners, thank you for being here. It's always great to have you along for the ride. We'll see everyone again tomorrow.